May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be ever right in your sight, O Lord, our Savior and Redeemer. Have a seat, everyone. So in our gospel today, Luke recounts events as Jesus' ministry was really taking off. It was getting to be more than one person even Jesus could handle. More than one person, more than 12 people, Jesus and his disciples. To meet all the needs of the people, Jesus needed help. And where do you go when you're faced with too much work? Well, you go to family and friends. Well, his close friends, Jesus had 12 disciples, but it was still too much work for them. So what do you do when those close friends aren't enough? Well, you go out and you recruit more. Jesus was building momentum and excitement in Israel in his ministry to the people. He healed the sick, he changed water into wine, he brought the dead back to life, and his ministry was creating a following of people that even Jesus and his disciples were not able to handle. So what he did was he recruited these 70 people to go out ahead to where he was going to prepare people for his arrival. And he gave them powers so that they could do things and spread the message of the kingdom of God and heal people and cast out demons, so that when Jesus came, it would be manageable. The gospel story gives a rare window into what it looked like for the first followers of Jesus. He instructed these 70 people to proclaim his message widely. Whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace to this house." And he doesn't ask them to find out whether the house follows the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or whether the house has kept the law, or whether the house is likely to receive the good news Jesus brings. He doesn't ask them to prejudge whether the house will be worth their time. He sends them on ahead to every town and place where he intended to go. And the 70 announced Jesus' coming by giving people a preview of Jesus' own work. And he warned them to expect resistance and rejection and not to argue, convince, or threaten if they're not welcomed. He does advise them to signal they're moving on when they encounter resistance by shaking the dust on their shoes. And he also advises them to go light on their mission. I think today we'd say don't sweat the small stuff. When you find like-minded people, work with them. This was a completely different approach to dealing with things than the Roman Empire and the authorities of the empire would have taken. So he equipped them to go in their mission. He gave them the power to cure the sick, and they were filled with joy when they could heal and found out that even the demons would submit to them in Jesus' name. Like, what an amazing thing to be sent out on ahead to visit someone. You know, you're one of the, think of yourself as one of the 70 who really, I mean, you're not Jesus, you're just an ordinary person. And here you go into a town and you pray for someone to heal and they're healed. You pray for demons to leave and they leave. Very exciting. And, you know, when I read the gospel, I started to think that what would it be like to have the power to heal and the power to cast out demons? And they seem like the most important gifts that you could have, right? But after considering the text for a while, I changed my mind. Two significant things that are easy to overlook in the story. The first is that the 70 go out in teams. They go out in pairs. And the second is that Jesus expected them to rely entirely on the generosity of others. Now, I can understand why they might want to go out in pairs. It's lonely and it's challenging to be going out ahead as a scout, basically, for Jesus. And Jesus is sending them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. And he anticipates resistance. Even Jesus did not travel on his own. Jesus' message would completely upset what he wanted them to say, would completely upset the status quo. I mean, we're talking about a time when the Roman Empire was in control. And And the Jewish leadership at the time had managed to have a little agreement with the Romans to allow them to do their thing. And here Jesus is coming, proclaiming a new kingdom when, from a Roman standpoint, there's already a kingdom and there's an emperor. So it's a challenging time. It's a time when we might expect to have resistance. Jesus said that he'd come to set free those people society oppressed, to heal those people society had cast aside, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This was a threat to the power structures that were in place at the time. And when the powers of the world are challenged, all kinds of things can happen. The Roman Empire expected people to worship Caesar as a god. And Jesus knows that there's going to be people out there that are afraid, and they're going to resist the message, whether from a fear, disbelief, or from self-interest. And so Jesus sends them out in pairs. When you have a buddy, they can help when you falter. When you have a friend, when you're lost, they can help you find the way. When you have a buddy, when you're discouraged, they can support you. And that's what the Company of Believers does even today. We hold on to each other, we console each other, encourage and embolden each other, and even believe for each other. Abigail's baptism today will remind us that we are a community and we're better together than we could ever be alone. We live in a culture that puts individualism and scarcity as something that underpins everything in the West. Culture insists that it's all up to you and that there's not enough for everyone. We're taught from a young age to look out for number one, and we learn that the one who dies with the most toys wins. But the gospel story reminds us that we find our success with and for each other in community. Jesus sends his disciples out in pairs because we were created to be in relationships, and we're stronger when we stay together. The second is that Jesus instructs the 70 to rely entirely upon the hospitality and generosity of others. He commands the 70 to take nothing with them. And that means that they have to rely on other people for their meals, for a place to stay, for just about everything. And I don't know about you, but having that kind of dependence is uncomfortable. It makes me feel that I'm unprepared. It makes me feel vulnerable. And sometimes it makes me feel unsafe. But the point of this dependence is the vulnerability. No one in the Roman Empire would be doing something like this. This is the new way of living in the kingdom of God. Western culture that we live in perpetuates the myth and expects us to go to great lengths to create and maintain illusions of control, independence, and invulnerability. But any loss, illness, death, or disappointment or tragedy reminds us painfully of just how incredibly vulnerable we are. We celebrate individualism here in Canada almost as much as the myth of our invulnerability. But I bet the loyalists that first came to settle here in Fredericton were incredibly aware that their survival depended on each other. All of this is why I believe that the greater gift Jesus gave the 70 and gives to us as their successors is teamwork and trusting obedience. When we work together, we live as God intended. God said that it's not good for us to be alone. When we work together, we can see ways to accomplish so much more than we could alone. And you know, the 70 Jesus was talking to are not the only people that Jesus expects to go on ahead. All of us here in St. John's have a part to play in Jesus' mission, which is the ministry of the church. Now, Teresa of Avila, the mystic from many years ago, had a well-known saying that can guide us as we carry on the ministry that Jesus gave us. Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ looks out to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless others now. Amen.